In awe of you, Lord, in honor and respect. We know that you are here and we receive your presence. We receive your flow. We receive your spirit. We receive your anointing, Father. You are awesome. You are glorious. You are wonderful, Father. And so we are in awe of you truly, Father. We respect you, Father. We fear you with a respectful fear, Father, not a fear of timidity, Father, but a fear of respect and honor unto you, because you are God and there is none beside you. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You do all things well, Father, and every good gift and every perfect gift comes from you, Father. We exalt you and give you all praise, glory, and honor this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, praise team. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, good morning. Good to see everyone. We are blessed this morning.
Yes, amen.
I'm always amused at people who say, well, if you don't do right, God won't bless you. Well, it's been revealed to us that God has blessed us, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So if he has already blessed us, past tense, then we're already blessed. It's just a matter of whether or not we're going to engage that blessing, whether or not we're going to engage that covenant. So praise God, we are blessed this morning. We are empowered to prosper. That's what it means to be blessed. It means to be empowered to prosper, not just financially, but in every arena, in every realm of existence and of your life. I want to take a quick moment to do something that I don't know that I've ever done from the pulpit. But I would like to do, and that is, I've been at House of the Lord for 22 years now. And yeah, wow. And it goes by fast. And, you know, I don't believe that it's not a matter of what I believe. The Bible reveals that God is the one who calls. God is the one who gifts, but he puts people in our lives to unlock what he's put there. And there are certain things that just won't get unlocked if you don't hook up with who God tells you to hook up with. If you don't hook up with the church that God tells you to hook up with, and you don't hook up with the people that God tells you to hook up with. And I just want to take a moment and thank God for Pastor Jim and Sister Lou. I know that I would not be where I am today in my walk with God at the level that I am without God using them in my life in so many different ways. I won't get into all of them, but just know that without God using them in my life, I just would not be at the place that I'm at right now in many, many arenas and areas. And God has used a number of people in my life over the years, but the sheer volume of just being around Pastor Jim and Sister Lou and the ministry here, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Sister Lou. thank God for you. You are a blessing. The Bible says that God gave gifts to men. And Pastor Jim and Sister Lou are truly a gift. And so we just want to thank God for them this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's get into the Word. The Word is good. This morning, we're continuing from last week, understanding kingdom growth and maturity. Understanding kingdom growth and maturity. So to recap, we spoke with you last week. We told you that according to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, that we were created in the image and likeness of God to rule, to reign, to subdue, to have dominion, to produce, to govern, to manage, to steward, to protect, and preserve the earth. Did everyone get all those words? But when we talk about being created to rule, there's a lot of meaning that comes with that word, ruling. And God does want us to reign. You know, some people are confused about why they are here on the earth, why God put them here. But God's original intent, which we see in Genesis chapter 1, is that he created us in his image and in his likeness. So first and foremost, we are to be. I think people have lost the understanding of just being a son of God, just being in relationship with him, being in right standing with him. So first and foremost, we are to be who we are. Just enjoy being children of God. Just enjoy being created in his image and in his likeness. But then when we start to think about action and what we are to do, the first thing that he said was that we should rule. So God wants us to rule. It's never God's intent for things to rule and to dominate you, but for you to rule and dominate things. We were recreated or born again in Christ Jesus with the same intent. We weren't born right the first time, so we had to be born again. We were born right the first time after Adam, then we wouldn't have a need to be born again. But the fact that we have to be born again says that we weren't born right the first time. So we were born again in Christ Jesus with the same intent, and that is to rule in the earth. We are to rule under the lordship of Jesus Christ and not by selfish ambition. So we don't just go out and do what we want to do. We rule, we dominate, we govern, we manage, we steward under the lordship of Jesus Christ, not by our own will or our own emotions or by selfish ambition. In order to do this, we need to receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Amen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "For if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will" what? Will reign. Will reign in life. It's God's will for you to reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So again, we don't reign in our own strength. We don't reign by the strength of the flesh. We don't reign by the natural. We reign under the lordship of Jesus Christ by the grace of God. We all need the grace of God. And so in order to reign and rule and dominate the way God wants you to reign, in order for you to steward the way God wants you to steward, to manage your finances, manage your household, manage the things around you, we have to receive that abundance of grace. Because truth be told, with the flesh, sometimes you may not be on top of your game every day, every week. But by the grace of God, even when you are not quote unquote on top of your game, It's amazing how relying on the grace of God still allows you to rule and to dominate and to manage and to steward the way God wants you to. So we have to receive the gift of the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness to reign in Christ Jesus. That word reign there in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17, it means to rule and it means to be a king. It means to rule and it means to be a king. Well, what does a king do? Well, a king reigns. A king reigns by his decrees. He decrees a thing and it's established. Why? Because he's a king. And so that word there, reign, it means in Romans 5:17, it means to rule and it also means to be a king. So it's God's will for you to be a king in your house. Now, God created them what? Male and female. Okay? So whether you're a male or a female king, whether you are a male or female son, God's will for you is to rule and to dominate and to not have things dominate you. This is something that we have to grow in. We have to learn how to rule. We have to learn how to reign. God did not create us to rule people or to be ruled by people, but to rule things, situations and circumstances. So it's not God's will for you to rule people. I don't try to rule my wife. My wife does not try to rule me. I don't think. But God has not called us to dominate people. He's called us to rule and to dominate things, to dominate situations, to dominate and rule circumstances. The immature believer seeks to rule and to dominate people. The mature believer understands that people are a gift from God and that we feed the people, we equip the people, we don't rule and dominate the people. But the immature seek to do that. They seek to rule, they seek to dominate, they seek to manipulate people. One of the ways that you know that you're dealing with an immature believer is that they seek to manipulate people. So there's a difference between having someone rule you and submitting to someone. There's a difference between having someone rule you and submitting to someone. God has not called you to be dominated by anyone, but he has called you to submit to people. Well, Brian, what's the difference? The difference is this. When you're being dominated or you're allowing yourself to be dominated by someone, then when you get to that pass of doing it God's way or man's way, you'll do it their way. Why? Because you're being dominated by them. When a situation comes up and you have to choose to either go God's way or do what they're saying, and what they're saying and what God is saying is in conflict, and you choose to go with what they're saying, then you know that you're allowing yourself to be dominated by man. But when you choose to go God's way, you know that you're allowing yourself to be ruled and governed by God and the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're submitted to someone, that means that ultimately you are submitted under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So God has a hierarchy in his kingdom. Now, in a democracy, the United States, it's hard for some people to wrap their head around the kingdom hierarchy, right? But when the Bible talks about wives submitting to their husbands, and really the word there is to honor and respect their husbands. Again, it's not about the husband dominating the wife. It's about the wife allowing the husband to be who God has created him to be. It's about the wife allowing the husband to make sure that the life of God and the kingdom of God rule and reigns in that home. It's about receiving the gift that the husband is to the wife. And so, but that all has to happen under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so at any point in time that I depart from the lordship of Jesus Christ and I demand and ask my wife to do something that violates the word of God, then at that point in time, she has to go with God. So if I'm under a pastor, and I'm not, but if I'm under a pastor that then departs from the lordship of Jesus Christ and begins to direct me in a way that violates his lordship, that violates the word of God, then at some point in time, with much prayer, with much grace, with much respect, at some point in time, I've got to go with God. Now, at no point in time will God allow me to disrespect the man of God, even if, they're going, just completely, obviously, in direct away from the word of God. You know, it's not for me to try to, talk about them or down them or anything like that. But at some point in time, I've got to remain under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And so that's the difference between submitting to someone and allowing someone to dominate you, allowing someone to rule you. So it's not God's will for us to dominate people or to be dominated by people, but to dominate and rule things, situations, and circumstances. So we have to learn how to rule. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. People don't come out of the womb knowing how to rule properly. Infants, children, don't always know how to rule properly. And so you have to learn not only how to rule, but how to rule properly. And that's under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We have to learn. We have to grow. We have to develop. And there's nothing wrong with being a child in the Lord. But the question is, are you growing? Are you developing? Or have you become stagnant? We should always be growing. We should always be developing. We have to go from being infants and children to being mature in Christ. We're told in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 that it's God's desire that we grow up into him who is the head, Jesus Christ. So God wants us to grow. He doesn't want us to be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every message, by every report, whether the report is from the news, whether the report is from a doctor. Children are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, whether it's religious doctrine or the doctrine of man or some other form of doctrine. Doctrine is not just religious doctrine, but doctrine is a creed that people adhere to. And you'll notice in news reports that there's a certain creed that certain media outlets adhere to. It's become a doctrine. Okay? And so God doesn't want us to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. He wants us to be moved by his word. He wants us to be led by his word. So God wants us to go from being infants and children to being mature in Christ. And there are certain signs of maturity. We spoke about last week that children or immature believers, believers who are in Christ, who are born again, who are saved, but are still infants and children, they unknowingly want, ask for, and pursue things that are not good for them. Children, infants want things that aren't good for them. They want it because they see it. They want it because they desire it, but they don't have discernment as to whether or not that thing is good for them. They just know that they want it. Children, again, in recap, have a problem with saying thank you. Infants, children, you give them something and they take it and run off. Okay? They're excited that they got it, but they have to learn how to say thank you. And that has to be taught. I'm teaching my child to say thank you because, her impulse, her natural impulse is to me, 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 me. I want I. And immature believers are the same way in the realm of the spirit. All they can think about is me, 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 me. And so there is a degree of selfishness as well with immature believers. They have a tendency to be selfish. Now, the Bible says that we are to walk in the unity of the Spirit, endeavoring to keep the bond of peace. When I am operating in selfishness, it's hard for me to walk in the unity of the Spirit. Children whine and complain when they don't get their way. Immature believers, when things don't go their way, they have a tendency to whine and complain. They have a hard time standing strong even when adversity comes. Well, God, I don't understand why this happened. God, you let this happen. God. And they blame everything on God. What are they doing? They're grumbling and complaining. There's a group of people in Exodus that went through that. And while all forms of sin don't align with who God is, grumbling and complaining is probably something that God does not approve of far more than some of the other things that the church says are really, 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 really bad things. It's whining and complaining. It's grumbling and complaining when they don't get their way. Children don't contribute anything to the family but take everything. Now, just in the natural, now, they don't have a job. They don't pay any bills. Okay? But they want to spend your money. Okay? They want what they want when they want it. And for you to talk about them working, for you to talk about them doing some chores around the house, for you to talk about them helping, children just want what they want when they want it. Okay? They don't contribute anything to the family coming out of the womb. They have to be taught that. They have to be trained in that. They just want what they don't care how much it costs. They just want what they want. Now, to some extent, it's a little bit refreshing. And I think we can learn a lesson from it because they just believe you can do it. They just believe you can pay for it. They just believe you got them covered. And so it's not a, there's no sort of hesitancy on their part to, well, you know, the younger they are, the more faith they have in you. They're just confident that daddy, mama will take care of it. And even if you're a parent, if you're a dad or a mom, even if it's like you know what the challenge is of doing that thing, you don't let them know. Because all you want them to know is relationship with you. All you want them to know that they are created in your image and in your likeness, and you don't want them to worry about a thing. You don't want them worrying. Again, just speaking in the natural, if somebody's going to worry, it's going to be mom and dad. But child doesn't have to worry about anything. Okay, and that's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, do not worry about your life. Why? Because I've got you covered. Amen. I've got you taken care of. Children have to have things done for them. Infants have to have things done for them. But the more they grow and the more they develop, they take the things that you've given them and they begin to rule on their own. They begin to reign on their own. They're still in your household. They're still submitted to you. But now they take what you've taught them and they go and do it on their own. One of the ways that you know that you're becoming a mature believer is that the things you're learning, the things you're hearing, you're taking it and you're applying it to your own life. You're getting out there and you're ruling, you're dominating. Whereas maybe when you were a young believer, every situation that came up, it was a call to an elder or was it a call to the pastor. Now the calls have decreased. You may call when the situation is so big you aren't mature enough to handle it. And that happens from time to time. But the calls begin to decrease. Why? Because you're growing up. And so you're learning to take what you've received and what you've been taught and to rule and to dominate. So, Brian, how do I grow as a believer? How do I begin to mature? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word. We should hunger and thirst and long for the word. We should be thirsty for the word. And that's being thirsty when we come to church and being ready to hear the word. That could be you going to a conference to hear the word. That could be listening to a message on your iPod, a message on television, a message on the internet, but you thirst for the word. You want the word. You hunger for the word. And so every moment and opportunity you get to receive the word, that means taking your own Bible and opening it up and begin to slowly meditate the word of God. Begin to slowly digest what God is saying. Begin to slowly digest what Jesus is saying. Now, keep in mind in your Bible that there are words of the devil in here. Okay? Keep in mind that in the Bible there are words of men who were inspired by the devil. Okay? So you want to be careful and understand how to read your Bible in context. Because if you just open your Bible and just say, you know, before I depart and am no more, and you don't know what that means, you know, who knows what you just submitted to? All right. So you want to rightfully divide the word of truth. You want to be able to open your Bible and meditate the word to understand the context that you're meditating. Right. So you're able to rightly divide the word of truth. But you have to hunger for that. You have to thirst for that. You don't want, you know, a day to go by, a week to go by, a month to go by, and you haven't had any time where you've gotten alone with God, where you've gotten quiet with God, and open your Bible and slowly begin to meditate, slowly begin to chew on that word, because that is the primary way that you grow as a believer. The word and the spirit of the word working together, the word and the spirit working together, the word and the spirit coming together. So at some point in time, we want to ask ourselves, have I been growing? Am I stronger? Am I more mature as a believer this year than I was last year? Am I growing? Am I developing? Or am I stagnant? Or even worse, am I going backwards? We want to be growing. We want to be moving forward. And again, while receiving the word of God at church and in Bible study and Sunday classes or at a conference or on television is great, there is something that's much more intimate about opening your own Bible for your own self. Getting with God alone and slowly meditating, thinking about what's being said, taking it word by word, sentence by sentence. Now, when I was a young believer, many years ago now, it feels funny to say that, but now it's been many years. I got to acknowledge that. I used to read the Bible chapters a day, just chapters. I would read books of the Bible. I mean, in one day, I just read. Now, Brian, did that benefit you? It probably benefited me some. It got me hungering. It got me at least in the vicinity, right? But I didn't really start growing until I started meditating on the Word of God. And to meditate, we're not talking about Eastern meditation like this, okay? We're talking about meditating under the Spirit of God, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and thinking about what God is saying to you. How does this apply to me? Why did God say that? That was good. Let me go back. And when I began to do that, it became very hard for me to go through a chapter in a week. It might take me a week to get through one verse. Why? Because I'm meditating now. I'm not just reading. I'm not just memorizing scripture. And I used to do that. I used to memorize scripture. You could ask me a chapter and a verse. I could tell you where it is. The only way that memorizing scripture benefits me now is that sometimes when I want to go to a verse, I don't have to take the time to open my Bible. I can give the reference just right there. But that's a mental exercise. That does nothing for my spirit man. And so keep in mind that memorizing the Bible, memorizing scripture is a mental exercise. But meditating goes past the mental, goes past the soul, and into who you are as a spirit man or a spirit being. So don't just get caught up in just, well, I read the whole Bible. I've read the whole Bible too. And I don't remember half the stuff I read. But I read it. Yeah. You know, young believers and immature believers, they get some sense of pride. Yes, I read the Bible. I've read the Bible three times. Reading the Bible, God has not called you to read the Bible. God has not called you to be an expert in the Bible. The Bible is a tool. The Bible is a container. God has not called you to be an expert. What if you sent someone something in a FedEx box? And in that FedEx box was a brand new shiny laptop. And you called them a week later and you said, Did you get the package I sent you? Oh, yes, I got it. Well, what'd you think? Oh, this is the nicest box I have ever seen. Look at the way that FedEx puts that orange and that blue on that box. I love the way the creases fold when I open that box. I have the box on my coffee table, and I just look at that box. That's a glorious box. I carry that box with me. Now, what would you think? Did you get the laptop? What laptop? There was a laptop in that box? Yes. I just like the box. Well, I didn't send you that for you to become an expert in the box. The box was just a package that I used to deliver the revelation that's contained on the inside of here. So God has not called us to be Bible experts. Bible, nowhere in the Bible do you see God say, become Bible scholars. Now, understand the Bible was canonized. But when Paul was writing his letters to the churches, he didn't have a Bible. You keep that in mind. Now, he had the Torah, he had the Pentateuch, he had the prophets, he had the writings of the prophets, he had the writings of the Psalms, he had the first five books of the Bible, so to speak, but he didn't have the New Testament. He was the New Testament. He had the Spirit of God. And by the Spirit of God, he began to write. He began to utter. He began to speak. So Paul wasn't a Bible expert. The Bible is just a container. And if you don't open the container, get it off your coffee table, get it off your dashboard, open it up, and not just solely read, but begin to meditate. Begin to meditate the Word of God. That's where you start to hunger and desire the pure milk of the Word. And that's where you begin to grow, allowing the Spirit of God to amplify what you're meditating, allowing the Spirit of God to bring to life the Scriptures on the inside of you. And so growth comes by the Word of God. Growth also comes by applying the Word of God. So you begin to understand by the Spirit what God is saying, what God's will is. You begin to understand that in your spirit. Now you have to put it into practice. You have to apply it. I like to call it resistance training. Okay? The reason why lifting weights matures your muscles is because a weight is put on you. The weight is not put on you to kill you. The weight is put on you to push back. And the weight is put on you and you push it back. The weight is put on you and you push it back. The weight is put on you and you push it back. After multiple reps of that, over a period of weeks and a period of months, your muscles begin to look different. Why? Because the weight is being put on you and you push it back. Now, if the weight is put on you and you just lay there, no muscles developed. No strength develops. The only time muscles develop is when you push it back. every now and then you need a spotter. The spotter is not there to lift the weight for you. The spotter is there to help you while you're growing, while you're training. That if you get beyond yourself, we're here. We're here. And so God has surrounded you with believers to pray with you. They are your spotters to stand in agreement with you. God has provided you with his grace to undergird you, to be there. But the grace isn't there for you to let the weight just go. No, God's will for you is to push back. Now, understand this. You as a believer, you are pushing back from a place of victory, not from a place of defeat. Right? So God has translated you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He has already given you the victory that Christ won in his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension. That victory that he won on your behalf, that's the victory that you now stand in. And so you're not trying to get the victory anymore. You're not trying to obtain the victory. What you're doing is you're preventing the situation, circumstances, and the devil from robbing you of the victory that God has already given you. So the devil tries to bring sickness on you and you push it back because you're the healed of the Lord. That doesn't belong to you. So I don't receive that, so I push it back. The devil tries to bring lack upon you and you say, I am the blessed of the Lord. God supplies all my need according to the living standard of heaven. God is the one that takes care of me. I'm in a place of victory already. What I'm not going to do is allow the devil or people to bring lack upon me. I'm going to push it back because I don't receive that. The devil tries to bring depression on me. That doesn't belong to me. I have the mind of Christ. I have the thought process of God. I have the consciousness of God. Because I have the mind of Christ and I'm in a place of victory, I don't receive that, so I push it back. I'm not trying to get the victory. I'm in a place of victory. The devil's trying to rob me of that victory, and I will not allow it. And so I push it back, and the more I push things back, the stronger I become. Now, Brian, what if I fail or what if I fall short in pushing something back? You get back up and you go back to practice. Now, one thing I've learned because I went through it, God will give you practice sessions as a believer. And if you were to share it with anyone else, it may not be a big deal to them, but you know it's a big deal for you because you needed it. And so God will give you practice sessions when it comes to ruling and reigning. And maybe it's just a very small situation, but normally you would handle it by the flesh. You would handle it with the natural, and God's given you an opportunity to handle it by ruling over it. As a king, dominating it, pushing it back. David went through this. Before David became king, he was out in the fields getting victories that no one could see. You don't need the approval of people. You don't need anyone around you applauding you. As you're getting victories that no one can see, no one but you might see for a period of time how you're growing, how you're developing. But you know for you, you're getting stronger. You're getting better. And so you don't compare yourself to Brother Richard. Brother Richard has his own walk to walk. He's got his own areas that he needs to grow in. The question is, how are you growing? How is it with you? How are you growing? And so God will give you practice sessions where you don't have to demonstrate when there's hundreds of people watching you. You get to practice ruling. And if you fall short, if you fail in taking authority over that thing, you get up and you do it again. I have a spiral notebook at home, and the Bible says that this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so about 10 years ago, I got a spiral notebook, and on it I wrote faith victories in one of those Sharpie black markers. Just on it, just wrote faith victories. Why? Because I was working on something, and I wanted to record and document each time I won a faith victory. Each time that something came upon me and I successfully ruled over it, I successfully dominated it. Now, I have failed more times than I've succeeded. But it doesn't stop me. It doesn't stop me from pushing it back. Why? Because the more I do it, the stronger I become, the more I develop. And so God has given me practice sessions and ruling and dominating. And each time I get a victory, I would record what's in it. Why? That way, when a situation and problem comes, I can open that thing up and look back at where God's brought me from. Look back at the victories I've had and know that victory is mine. I just have to stand. I just have to rule. I have to dominate. So you can become more accurate in your ruling. You become more accurate in your dominating. I remember I guess I was about 19 years old. And I had a very old apartment. Rent has gone up in Austin since then, by the way. But anyway, had an old apartment. It was not a very good apartment at all. We had roaches. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't care too much for them. But we had roaches, and I won't give you all the stories because I don't want to paint any mental images for anyone. But just to say that we had roaches, and I was just going from being born again, really, really starting to press into the things of God, really. Really on the tip of pressing into the things of God. I think I had been at House of the Lord for maybe a few months, but I was very hungry, very motivated, very, very zealous, and I had books. I was starting to buy multiple books. I had tons of books I was reading. Pastor would recommend a book. I would buy a book, and so I was in my infancy stages of growing and learning. And I was reading my Bible one night. I was in the bed and reading my Bible. And I just looked, and there was a roach crawling on my wall. Just crawling up the wall. Big, big, big roach. And at this point in time, I was frustrated. I was tired of all these roaches in my apartment. So I just looked at the roach, and I said, "Roach, get off of my wall." The roach fell back onto the floor. Boom. Now, not a big deal for a lot of people, but a big deal for me, because because truth be told, in your natural mental mind, while you have confidence in your spirit, your mind has a hard time believing sometimes. Something rose up inside my spirit where I said, "Roach, get off my wall." And the roach actually fell off the wall. "Well, Brian, that was just a coincidence." Well, that's the most interesting coincidence I've ever seen, because the roach was just fine before I said something. I said something, and the roach fell backwards, boom, onto the floor. Now, after that, I went and crushed it and picked it up, put it in the trash, you know. You know, had I been really walking authority, I would just walked it on out the house, you know. Get off my floor, too. But it was a training session. No big deal. No big deal. No one needs to know that. But it was a training session for me, because I got a glimpse on how deep this thing can go. On how deep this thing can go. And so in my Faith Victories notebook, I've got a lot of other testimonies, some with bigger situations. Some with sickness and disease involved. Some with things attacking me, attacking my life, where I had to stand up and say no. To push it back and say, "I don't receive that." Resistance training, the weight comes and I push it back. Now, Brian, have you succeeded every time? No, absolutely not. There have been times I've spoken to things and the exact opposite seemed to happen. "Well, Brian, isn't that frustrating?" Well, it can be frustrating to the flesh. But here's the thing. God says, though a man, righteous man, falls six times, on the seventh time, he's going to get back up. So we have to learn how to rule. And we have to learn how to dominate. And God doesn't change. The victory doesn't change. The blessing doesn't change. The grace doesn't change. The faith doesn't change. What changes is us. We have to grow up into him who is the head. And as we're learning how to rule, as we're learning how to dominate, we're going to have some failures. They're not God failures. They're not faith failures. There are no faith failures. Faith does not fail. Sometimes we fail to walk in faith. But faith does not fail. Grace does not fail. Sometimes we fail to walk in grace, and we take something on us that God didn't intend for us to take. We want to push it back by the grace of God. But sometimes we fall short in our own flesh, and we have to be honest about that. We've got to recognize that and say, you know what? I said I was in faith, but the moment something happened, I said something else to someone else that was the opposite of what I said an hour ago. So we have to be honest about that stuff and say, you know what? I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm learning how to rule. I'm learning how to dominate. And the more you grow in that, the bigger the testimonies become. When I say bigger, bigger to the natural eye. It takes the same amount of faith to, well, anyway, I think you get the idea, you get the picture. So we've got to practice ruling, and God will give us practice sessions. Another way, or another sign of maturity, Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. We have to be led by the Spirit. We have to be led by the Spirit. Mature believers are adept at being led by the Spirit and not being led by the flesh. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, it says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were afraid and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." So Jesus came to them walking on the water. All right, so I want you to just put a bookmark there real quick. Matthew chapter 8, in verse 23. Matthew 8 and 23. It says, when he got into the boat, his disciples followed. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 1, notice it says, getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and came to his own city. Notice when Jesus came walking on the water and he went through his thing with Peter, then he got in the boat, and they continued their journey. Here's a question. If Jesus can walk on water, why is he using a boat? If Jesus can walk on water, why is he using technology? Because at that point in time, a boat was a technological advancement. Acts chapter 8 and verse 38. And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. Verse 40, but Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. If Philip can be translated from location to location, why use a car? Why doesn't Philip go everywhere just being translated? Why doesn't Jesus just go everywhere walking on the water? Why use technology? Why do we need to drive anywhere? Why should we drive anywhere? We should just believe God to be translated everywhere, because if translation is available, then we should just do that. Why did Jesus spit on the ground, make mud, put the mud into the person's eyes to heal his eyes? When at other times he just laid hands on him or didn't even touch him and just spoke the word. If he spoke the word, why did he speak the word every time? Why this time did he spit into the ground, make mud, and put it into the man's eyes? Well, there's a lot of reasons. There's revelation there. But here's the thing. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only do what I'm led to do. I only do what the Spirit of God directs me to do. Now, immature believers, here's what they do. Because they see someone else doing something, they try to duplicate it. Because obviously it's available. So then I see Jerry do it, and so I should use that method too. I should do what Jerry did. Jerry quit her job. This is hypothetical. Jerry quit her job. I'm going to quit my job too. Brother so-and-so quit taking his medicine. I'm going to quit taking medicine too. Sister so-and-so threw away her glasses. I'm going to throw away my glasses too. Because I'm the healed of the Lord. Did God tell you to throw away your glasses? Did God tell you to quit your job? Or did you just emulate what you saw someone else do? Understand this. They did what they did under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. How God, the vehicle that God uses to execute something is not as important as it is that it gets executed. So-and-so didn't go to the doctor. I'm not going to go to the doctor either. I'm going to believe God. If you believe God and you are in faith, there will be no problems. You don't need to go to the doctor. But you can go to the doctor and still be in faith. As long as you go to the doctor, not out of fear, but you go out of the direction of the Holy Spirit. Why did Jesus spit into the mud and make clay? Why not just speak the word? I'm not receiving clay. Clay is beneath me. I don't want clay. God, I don't want it to have it happen this way. I don't want to do clay. I want you to just speak the word. Hey, if clay is the vehicle that God is going to use, great. But the most important thing is this. There is a realm in Christ that you can get to where your dependency on the institutions and natural means around you start to get violated and go away. But here's the thing. You don't just do it because you saw someone else do it. You do it under the inspiration of the Spirit. You do it in faith. Jesus didn't walk everywhere on the water. Why? Why did he not? He could have. Why didn't he? Why did he continue to take boats? Or why is he taking boats when walking on the water is available to him? He said, I do what I see the Father doing. Apparently there was a need for him to be in the boat. So he took the boat. He got on the boat. Mature believers understand walking by the Spirit and being led to do it the way God said do it. If God said go there and you have peace about it, then you go there. If God said don't and you don't have peace about it, you don't go. Because sometimes doctors will, you know, mess you up more than anyway. So faith is being certain of things you hope for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Brian, how do I know I'm in faith? The question stop. A question and faith cannot occupy the same space. Well, Brian, what do you mean by a question? Do you mean questioning things in my head? Or my brain telling me the very opposite of what I'm believing? No, that's not what I'm talking about. If you are not clear on what God said about it, if you don't have the Word of God on it, or you're not clear on what God said about it, then it's going to be very challenging for you to operate in faith. Because faith is based off of what God said. And if you are not solid and clear on what God said, how are you going to walk in faith? If you're questioning whether or not God will heal you, how can you be in faith? Well, I don't know. Maybe God will take care of this bill. Maybe if I pray, maybe if I tell somebody, you know, maybe they'll hear from the Spirit. They'll pay it for me, you know. Maybe if I tell some people, maybe if I start a prayer chain, you know, maybe it'll happen that way. Maybe God will heal me. I don't know. I want to go have a counseling session with Pastor. See if God, that person has not gotten clear. They've got questions. They have not arrived to the point of faith. Faith is being certain of what you hope for. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. If the questions are still circulating, might not want to throw your glasses away just yet. If the questions are still circulating, you may not want to stop taking your medicine just yet. Because truth be told, doctors and medicine have helped a lot of people as they grow. And have helped a lot of people even if they are fully mature. But again, you don't want to make the mistake as an immature believer of trying to duplicate and emulate the faith of someone else when you're not there yet. If you've never believed God for a 50-cent raise on your job, then you might not be ready to believe God concerning leaving your job. But to the degree that you have attained, you should walk in that and always be going forward. So being led by the Spirit is key to walking as a mature believer, doing whatever God says and not trying to emulate what someone else did. If God tells you to do that, then you do it. If God tells you to walk on water, you walk on water. If God tells you to lay hands, you lay hands. If God tells you to speak, you speak. If God tells you to, if God translates you, then be translated and enjoy it. But if God tells you to drive, you drive. If God tells you to take this route, you take that route. But if God tells you you're going to visit kinfolk and he wants you to take another route because he knows something else is down there that he doesn't want you to encounter, then you take that route. Being led by the Spirit is pivotal to being a mature believer. The last thing, it's possible to be mature in one area and immature in another. It's possible to be mature in one area and immature in another. You may be mature when it comes to managing finances, but immature in managing relationships. People say, man, how can this person be so successful in this area, but man, all the other areas of their life is like trash? I mean, what is it? They may just be mature in one area. They've focused so much time on that area that they've developed their muscles in that area, but they've not developed their muscles in other areas. You may be mature in faith, but immature in love. They can believe, they believe God for anything. I mean, they walk in their authority, but their love walk is not there. Why? They've grown out of balance. So God wants us to grow up into all things, in all aspects, into maturity, into him who is the head. So praise God, we're growing, we're learning, we're understanding kingdom growth and understanding kingdom maturity. We're done. Brother Ken? All right, stand with me. Father, we thank you, sir, for your word. We thank you that you are at work in us both to will and to do according to your good pleasure, Father. We thank you that you are taking us from glory to glory, Father. You are taking us from level to level, Father, and that we are growing in Christ, Father. Some are at one level, some are at another. But no matter if we are at a high level, there's more. There's more. There's more, Father. So we just open ourselves up to the progression, to the next level, to growth, to maturity in different arenas and different areas, Father. We thank you, sir, that we learn how to rule in increasing measure, Father, and that we have testimonies and success of the word working for those who work the word by works, Father. We call each one blessed this day, Father, prosperous and successful, Father. And as we leave here, Father, we leave in your victory. We leave in the victory of Christ. We leave in your grace. We leave in your love, Father, and we leave, Father, ruling and reigning in the earth, sir. Thank you, Father. You are dismissed.